This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Good morning again. We're in this series, the sermon series on hospitality, and we have a Wednesday night and other nights life groups that are studying hospitality, and we're raising money for hospitality. Why? Because we believe that if the Holy Spirit can help make us the most hospitable people that we can possibly be, then that is going to help us to come more fully alive, and it's going to help other people to come more fully alive too. Hospitality is key. So we've covered a couple of big ideas in this sermon series so far. We started off with talking about how the story of God is a story of hospitality, how God has acted towards humanity in one giant act of hospitality. We talked about how hospitals are places of hospitality because they're ready and waiting for people who have real serious needs, and the hospitals are prepared to meet those needs, and that the church is like that. It's like a hospital offering that kind of hospitality, prepared and ready to receive people who have great needs and creating space for God to heal them. And then last week, we talked about how hospitality oftentimes involves not just a receiving people in, but a going out, a kind of missional hospitality. Sometimes hospitality involves inviting yourself over. And in that way, our hospitality can reach our city and our nation and to the ends of the earth. And so last week, we kind of left off there. Like, we left off at the ends of the earth, and this morning, we are coming back home. And we're coming back here, like right here in Mission Theater. Today, we're going to talk about what it means to be a hospitable church. Like, what does hospitality look like when we gather together? Like, in a local church, how does a local church do hospitality at its gatherings? But first, I want to share a story about feeling like an outsider. We've all had times that we have felt like an outsider, and sometimes that's not a big deal. You know, you can kind of brush it off. But other times, it's pretty serious. You know, it can feel so isolating to be an outsider, and it can kind of distance you from whatever thing you're experiencing, and it can create this, honestly, just this feeling of like, if you really feel like an outsider, then you probably aren't gonna go back to that thing. And so there are times where we need hospitality, and that's oftentimes when we feel like outsiders. So I want to tell you, the place in my life where I feel the most like an outsider is when I talk to any professional money person. Like any like insurance or like investing or like any, I'm terrible with money. I'm not terrible with money, but I'm terrible at understanding money, okay? Like the deficiency is on my end, not on theirs primarily, you know? Like it would take a lot of hospitality when I talk to someone like that for them to like consider me and meet me where I'm at, because I'm so far away from feeling like an insider there. But oftentimes, I find when I meet with people like that, they talk fast and they talk over my head, and it seems like they're really into the thing that they're talking about, but I'm just kind of a spectator to it, you know. And oftentimes, I think that they are trying to be hospitable, you know, like they offer me a drink when I come in, you know, but like that's not exactly the same as hospitality. Hospitality involves like a real consideration of that person and like an attempt to meet them on their grounds and on their terms. And so it truly is one of my least favorite things to do is to meet with someone like that. But we've all had feelings like that, right? A feeling like, man, I just do not belong here. You know, Jenny was telling me this week that, so I have this kind of core group of friends that I like grew up with in high school. We went to the same college, most of us, and like now are still friends. And when we first started dating and she was introduced into that world, apparently we have like our own, you know, language and, you know, nicknames and inside jokes and stories. You know, it's like this old, longtime friend group. And so Jenny reminded me this week of just how truly inhospitable we were to her when she tried to, like, insert herself into that world. She would, like, try to use the insider language and fail miserably. And we reminded her of that. So being an outsider is just the worst, isn't it? It's a terrible feeling. And I want to look at hospitality towards outsiders this morning. How do we help people from the outside become people that are on the inside? How do we ease that process? Isn't that what hospitality really is? It's like building a bridge or a ramp or something from the outside to the inside. So in order to kind of lay out that case this morning, we're going to look at three different ideas. We're going to look at the way that Jesus did hospitality to outsiders. We're going to look at the way that the early church did hospitality towards outsiders. And then we're going to talk for a while about what it would mean and what I hope hospitality to outsiders looks like right here at Christ Church Mission, okay? Hospitable church. Let's first start with Jesus. Man, I know it was a long reading, thank you, Gene, but that story is such a great story and it's such a beautiful picture of hospitality towards an outsider. We see Jesus engaging this outsider, and let's talk a little bit about what he does and how he behaves when he does so. So, it's a stunning example of hospitality. So, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at a well, and this Samaritan woman was the epitome of an outsider. She was an outsider in almost every way that you look at it, every possible way. So she was an ethnic outsider. So just a quick little history lesson, you know, just hang with me if you're if this is inhospitable to those of you that don't like history. But in 740 BC, the Assyrians conquered a part of the kingdom of Israel, and the some of those Israelites began to intermarry and intermingle with those Assyrian captors, okay? And that people group that began to intermarry and kind of blend with their captors came to be known as the Samaritans. So there was this disdain towards the Samaritans. You know, they're kind of pseudo turncoats, you know, because they had, like, you know, just kind of wed themselves to the real enemy. And there were also kind of religious apostates, you know, because they kind of blended their faith in God with the pagan religion that the Assyrians held. And so they were just kind of, they were hated, you know, by the Jewish people. And so this woman was a Samaritan. She was kind of intermarried and intermingled and interfaithed with this, like, you know, outside, you know, kind of the enemy, if you will. She wasn't only an ethnic outsider, she was also a gender outsider, you know? It was unthinkable at that time for a man to start up a conversation with a woman, especially in private. It was just the two of them at the well. You weren't even, if you are a man, you were not even supposed to do that, like, in public with your own wife, much less someone else's wife. You know, so this woman is she's an outsider in that sense too. And then thirdly, she was a moral outsider. You know, women in those days would come to the well together in the morning before the day got hot. But this Samaritan woman came at noon. She had been rejected by the other women in town. She was, you know, she had, as Jesus said, five husbands and was living with someone who wasn't her husband. She had been rejected by even her tiny sliver of marginalized society. Even for them, she was an outsider. She was the outsider of outsiders. So what does Jesus do? How does he interact with her? Well, he reaches out and strikes up a conversation. That's the way that Jesus interacts with her. He gets relational with her. He asks her for a drink, and her first response is, "Hey, don't you know that I'm an outsider? Don't you remember that you're an insider and I'm an outsider?" She, like, basically tries to, like, cut the bridge off. You know, he's building a bridge, and she's saying, "No, no, no, that's not how this works." And Jesus knows that she's an outsider. He actually knows much more about her than just that, but he continues and he begins to talk to her about living water that can really satisfy her greatest thirst in life. And suddenly, the conversation about water has shifted. It's gone from Jesus asking her for a drink of physical water to Jesus offering something much greater to her, offering a different kind of water to her. She is invited in. She's invited in to lay aside her life and exchange it for a full life. Jesus has shown that what he offers will require, yes, her leaving her husband, leaving a lot behind, but it offers much more than that. And most importantly, that water is for her. He makes it clear that this is a gift, an offering for her. She is not an outsider to the living water. He has met her, and he knows her, and he offers her something life-changing. That is a beautiful picture of hospitality from Jesus to the Samaritan woman. He offers hospitality to the outsiders. Let's talk a little bit about the earliest Christians. So after Jesus, how did the earliest Christians try to make hospitality a key value for their life together? It was the passage that Jackie read for us this morning, and I won't read it this morning, but, and maybe as Jackie was reading it, you're like, what are we talking about today? This like food sacrifice idols. I love that we have passages like this in the Bible because it's like an inside glimpse into like what the real tangible issues that the church was actually dealing with. We get a front row seat to that. So I won't read the whole passage again, but in this passage, Paul is writing about a very practical conflict that the early church is going through. Those earliest Christians were wrestling with hospitality. And so basically what's happening here is that the pagan religions would sacrifice animals to their gods, but the like meat wasn't in this like abundant, like in abundance. And so they would then like find that same meat that was sacrificed to pagan gods being sold in markets. And so Christians were debating, the earliest Christians were saying, hey, should we be eating that meat or not? And some people in the early church said yes, and some people in the early church said no. There's this debate about if it was morally right or wrong to do so. And Paul weighs in with his insight. He says this. He says, is it wrong to eat meat sacrificed to idols? No. Like, not in and of itself. However, if eating that meat causes someone weaker, Paul says, or more of an outsider, if you will, to stumble in their faith or to get tripped up, then don't do it. What you see here is that Paul is illustrating the value of hospitality, consideration of those that are farther away and farther out. He's saying, some of you can eat that meat, yes, no problem, and it's no big deal to you, and it doesn't affect you at all in your relationship with God, not one bit. However, there are others among you that if you saw Christians eating that meat, then they'd be confused, and it would be like a stumbling block to them. They'd be scratching their heads. It would be like them in my financial planner's office. You know, they're like, I don't understand this. Are these early Christians eating meat sacrificed to pagan gods? This does not make sense. So Paul says, if that is the case, then don't eat the meat. It's not wrong in and of itself, but if it's going to cause your brother or sister to stumble, be hospitable to them. Don't eat the meat. Paul even says, if what I eat or drink causes my brother or sister to sin, or if it's inhospitable to them, then I will never eat meat again. Those are words you don't want to hear on a Chiefs Sunday, I know. But that's the degree to which Paul is ready to go for the sake of hospitality for those who are outsiders. He said, you know, look, I will change my life and my habits if it means hospitality to those who are on the outside. Okay, let's talk about hospitality right here at Christ Church Mission. I want to cast some vision for us for just a few minutes, and I'm going to end today by asking you to do one thing. There's one thing, one new habit that I want all of us to consider doing. Okay, but you have to wait for just a second. So, disclaimer, some of you are like, hold on, Dean, aren't we like pretty hospitable here at Christ Church Mission? Like, aren't we a pretty hospitable people? And the answer is, yeah, I think so. You know, I regularly hear stories, like truly stories that make me proud of like this church. I just heard one a couple weeks ago about a family who showed up here for the very first time, and just one of you, a parishioner, was waiting out there in the lobby and saw them and said, hey, are you new here? And they said, yes. And this person said, they had kids, and so they said, let me take you down. Let me show you our kids' space down the road here. So he walked them all the way down to the space, and then as they were getting checked in, he said, you know what? I'm going to let you finish up here, and I'm going to go back down. I'm going to be waiting for you again in the lobby when you get down here. And so they walked back. They finished their kids without somebody looming over them, you know, and then they came back, and they met him there, and he said, hey, I want you to sit with my family. Like, just amazing. It meant a lot to that family, the very first visit, to have been treated with such great hospitality. So, are we a hospitable congregation now? I think so, in a lot of ways, but I do want to be honest and say, like, I also do hear stories where we're missing it still, you know? Where we're not being as hospitable as we can be. And I want hospitality to touch every person here at Christ Church Mission, and I want it to touch every part of my life. And so that's what we're after here. So let me cast a little vision here. Here is the mindset that I would like for you to adopt when you come to church on Sundays, okay? If this is your home church, like if you'd say, like, yeah, this is my place, even if you haven't been here for very long, if you'd say, like, yeah, this is my church, if you think to yourself, I'm a part of this thing. And if you're here this morning, I hope you're either there or on your way there, of course. If this is your place, then I would like for you to consider this your place. Like, consider it your place. Here on Sundays, this is your place. What I'm saying, I guess, is that the pathway from guest to host can be short. Like, you can be a guest here for as long as you want. That's fine. But you can also make the transition into being a host as quickly as you would like. It's, if you think to yourself, like, this is a place that I care about, then I would like for you to start thinking of yourself when you are here as not just a guest, but as a host. So I came up with this stupid, corny way of putting this idea. It just came to me one day, you know? And it's terrible, but I'm pretty sure, because it was so revelatory, I'm going to share it this morning, and I'm pretty sure that you will remember it because it's so stupid. Okay, ready? If this is your home church, then this is your home church. Okay? You'll remember that, right? Like, if this is your place, if you consider this your place, then treat it like your place. Act like this is your home. Be a host with us here at Christ Church Mission. That means a couple of things. It means I want you to be familiar with the space, you know? I remember when I was pretty new to the congregation in Overland Park at 91st and Null. Very new. I'd just been there a few weeks, and someone was showing me around, and they said, hey, I want to take you and show you the sacristy, which is like this kind of elusive place back behind the sanctuary, you know. There's always people slipping suspiciously in and out of there. It's where they keep, like, the wine and the silver and things like that. And so somebody offered to take me back there, you know, and I was like, really? Like, I can go back there? And they said, yes, this is your place. Nothing is off limits to you. And that did a lot for helping me feel like I was a part of this thing. Like, I wasn't just a guest. I could be a host there. You know, so we don't have a place like that. We don't have, like, a sacred place here at Christ Church Mission. The most secret place that I can show you is the nasty storage unit behind Ruthie's Keyhole Lounge. And I'll show it to you if you want to see it. If it'll help you feel like a host here, I'll show you that alley, okay? But I've got to warn you, it's a pretty different feel than the sacristy, okay? Okay, but seriously, like, if you should go upstairs sometime. If you've never been upstairs here, right up that door, right back there is where we do the nursery on Sunday mornings. If you've never been down to our, like if you don't have kids or something, if you've never been down to our storefront spaces, we have the studio and the Christchurch Mission storefront. If you haven't been down to that space, here, I'll tell you what, I'm going to meet you in the lobby after the service and I'm going to walk you down there and show you around. I just want you to be familiar because you never know when you're going to be the one standing in the lobby when somebody walks in and looks like a deer in the headlights, you know, and needs someone to say, hey, are you new here? Can I show you down? To the storefront. Okay. So I want you to do that. I'll meet you outside. Sorry, I lost my place. Okay. This is your place. Jenny always tells me, Jenny's a great host, like, in our home, you know? And she was telling me that, that she knows when she's succeeded at hospitality, like if we're hosting a group of people, not when she's getting up to refill everyone's drink every 5 minutes. But when the guests start refilling their own drinks, that's when we know we've like succeeded in hospitality. And I want the same to be true for you, like to make that transition from coming here as a guest to saying like, no, this is my place. I'll show myself around. I'll get people what they need. I want that for all of you. At what point do we make that transition from guest to host? I don't know. But I hope you'll feel so comfortable here that it'll be shorter than you think. Are Ross and Kelsey here this morning? I think they are. Can I tell a Ross and Kelsey story? Ross and Kelsey, it was just earlier this year that they were still pretty new here, or maybe late last year. They were pretty new, but they had like kind of made a short jump from guest to host. They were in a life group, and they were sitting in the seats on Sunday morning, and so a guy was sitting next to them who they didn't recognize, and so they said they were being hospitable, and so they trying to reach out to him, and so they said, hey, we're Ross and Kelsey, like, are you new here? And he said, oh, hey, my name's Michael. It turns out it's Michael Carter, who's on staff at Christchurch. And was on a video on the screen like 10 seconds later, you know? And so here you have someone who you'd think should be functioning as a guest, but has like already begun hosting people. And I love that, and I want that for more and more of us. Okay, you wanna talk about the one thing? Here's the one thing. The one habit that I wanna ask you to do when you come to church on Sundays or Wednesdays, whenever you're here, one thing, and it's very practical. When you're here at church, will you do this? Will you meet someone and learn something about them? Will you meet someone and learn something about them? I think that if we all attempt this new habit, then it will make this an even more hospitable place for every outsider that walks in. That's what Jesus did in that story, right? He reached out to someone who is an outsider, and he was relational with them. You know what was the result of that encounter? As long as our reading was, we didn't actually include the end of the story. Not only was the Samaritan woman's life changed, but the passage says that many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the impact that he had on the woman. And Jesus stayed with them for 2 more days. And because of his words, many more became believers. The impact of Jesus reaching out to an outsider in a relational way changed her life and changed the lives of so many more. Could our relational work with the people here have the same impact? I think so. I hope so. Meet someone and learn something about them. The result could be that many more are impacted and become believers. So let me give a couple of like specific disclaimers and tips and that sort of thing. Okay, number one, some of you are thinking, meet someone new? Like I have to meet a brand new person that's here? And the answer is no, new to you. Like, that's what meet someone means. Like, you don't currently know them, but you want to meet them, okay? That's all I'm asking you to do. Meet someone that you don't know. I will say, we have new people here every Sunday. I'm talking first-time visitors every Sunday. I've been here about a year. I think I can remember 2 Sundays where we haven't had a first-time visitor. I'm talking every week, y'all. We have brand new people, okay? So, but I'm not asking you to track those people down. If all of us go to meet the new person, like, that's not exactly hospitality either, you know? So meet someone that's new to you, all right? Number 2, learn something about them. Learn something about them. All I'm trying to say there is, like, let's take it one step beyond, like, I am Dean, who are you? You know, like, I want you to ask a question, like, learn something about them. Let's take one step beyond just the introducing ourselves to one another. Let's try to, like, peel back the first layer of getting to know someone. Learn something about them. Ask a question. 3, some of you are like, Dean, I'm an introvert, man. Like, you don't realize what you're asking me to do. To which I would reply, yes, I do. Because I'm an introvert, too. Like, I mean, it may not seem like it on Sunday mornings, but I'm telling you, like, I'm very introverted, and so I've tried to set the bar pretty low. I'm just asking you to meet one person when you're here, all right? Meet one person and learn something about them. And then let me give you one little tip, okay? This last one is a tip. If you want help getting started, I have an entry question for you, okay? It's the least threatening question that I know. My kind of hospitality mentor is a woman, Suzanne Moore, and she gave me this tip for Sunday morning. She said, if you want to start a conversation with someone, the question is, have we met before? Okay? Have we met before? Can we say it together? Have we met before? That it's better than, are you new here? You know, because you might say someone like, hey, are you new here? And they're like, no, I've been here 2 years. And you're like, oh, okay, I feel terrible, you know. The simple question is, have we met before? And it gives you the opportunity for them to say, no, my name is this. Or yes, remember, it was a couple months ago, you know, and you can start in from there. Meet someone and learn something about them. I want this to be a new habit that we begin to form here at Christ Church Mission. Not just something that we do this week, but something that we start doing every time we're together as a church. We are gonna model it in a pretty significant way this morning. So there's part of the service that I think lends itself particularly well to meeting someone and learning something about them, and that's the part of the service that we call the peace, the peace. And I want to start shifting just slightly what happens for us at the time called the peace. What often happens now is that we turn to each other and we say, peace, 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 peace of the Lord, peace, you know? That's great, but we've actually already said peace to one another. At that point, do you realize that? The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. We have peaced each other, all right? Now let's meet each other, okay? Let's greet each other. So we've peaced, now let's meet. So today, we're gonna practice this. We're gonna take an opportunity during that time to, like, meet someone and learn something about them. So today, just so you know, I'm gonna let it go for a little while, all right? I want you to work the room a little bit. Just meet. We only have to meet one person, okay? Meet someone that you don't know and learn something about them. Okay, that's during the piece here in just a few minutes. In closing, Jesus, Paul, the early Christians were remarkably hospitable to outsiders, rethinking their customs and habits for the sake of the outsider. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to begin to shape us in that same way. Does that sound good? Let's pray.